just honored to hear. I'm excited tonight to hear the preached word of God by the man that is coming up in just a moment. Bill Young leads Cowboy Church. And y'all have a Facebook page. Is it Cowboy Church of Greensboro?
PiedmontCowboyChurch.com.
PiedmontCowboyChurch.com. I love this brother. He was pastor here, and as I've been interim, he's been such an encouragement to me. And Angie and I have just fallen in love with Bill and Diane. And there's a lot of great things I could say. He's a Piedmont grad, aren't you?
Piedmont.
Piedmont International University, where I have the privilege of being on the board with Dr. Charles Pettit, the president. It's a great school. And I know Piedmont is honored that Bill Young is one of its alums. But also, we are buddies also because of cowboy boots. You got
right.
Your boots on?
I got my boots
Same
on.
Same here. Folks, what an honor. Open your heart, open your ears, open God's word. Please let's welcome together our speaker for tonight, Reverend Bill Young.
Thank you so much, Alex. It is good to be back preaching at Good Shepherd. I've missed that very much. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And we'll look at God's word. Alex asked me at the close of service last night, what are you preaching on? Well, I didn't know then. I had about four or five different messages going on my desk, and I had to really pray hard to see where the Lord was leading. And all the songs have kind of pulled together with what I'm preaching on tonight in Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 14. If you're around the kitchen, maybe you're finishing up supper, maybe you're cooking supper. Maybe you're coming home from work if you're fortunate enough to be able to work during this time. Maybe you're around the house or driving, but I invite you just to gather around. And if you have your Bible, pull it out, Colossians chapter 1. If not, you listen. Colossians, I love the book of Colossians. And verse 14 through 22, beginning in verse 14, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, that's my favorite verse right there in all the Bible. I love the entirety of the Word of God, but this is my life verse, that in all things he might have the preeminence, meaning first place in the life of a believer. He deserves first place in your life, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Well, wow. I enjoy singing. I enjoy the preaching of the word. But as we look around, and it's what we are living in right now, all we can say is, wow, what a time that we're living in. Did any of us expect to be where we're at right now? Anything like this, that the events that we are in? We're definitely, and I've preached on it many times, we're definitely in a storm. I guess in the past we had little storms, but we didn't dream of a storm like this, have we? We're definitely in a storm. Now, some of it is real. Some of it's not. And I don't make light of that, because I know that there are many people who have died from this coronavirus. And if you're one of those who have been affected by this, we sympathize with you. We love you. We want to help and pray for you. And it's got to be an awful thing, an awful time that you're going through in your life. But then we've seen a whole lot of hype on the news media. We see things to where that some say that the hospitals are full. Some say that there's whole floors that are empty. Some, you look on social media and you see some are saying that they're not even treating some. Oh, we just don't know what to believe, do we? in the times that when what we're in. So we see so much conflicting, so many conflicting issues that are going on, and the death rates are up, and then 1 week the death rates are down. So really, sometimes we don't know what to believe. We don't know. We do know that there are many who are fearful. Yeah, many who are afraid. Many who have many questions. There's many people out of work. There's many that don't know where they'll get next month's money to pay their bills, whether they'll be able to pay their housing or their car payments or get food. Some are in very dire straits. Sometimes storms give us warnings, you know. Sometimes they don't. Thunderstorms can, sometimes you'll see a cloud coming up, and that'll be a little warning. Then other times there's just a roll of thunder and a clap of lightning, and it's on us, heavy rains before we know it. And then comes the flooding. Then there are many times when there are warnings, and we have different warnings for different things, like road signs. You can be driving down the road and see a sign that says, sharp curve. You see that ahead. And we're to heed those type of road sign warnings, are we not? Yeah. Then there are a sign that may say, bridge out. Well, you better heed that warning, hadn't you? Yeah, might end up in the river. Might say bridge out. You may see one that says deer crossing, and you don't know if deer are going to cross there or not, but sometimes there's a warning for that. There's warnings for train crossings. So we listen for the whistle to see if a train is coming. Sometimes there's warnings. There's warning lights on your cars. Sometimes people's check engine light will come on, and they'll just ignore it. I've known people who'll put a little piece of tape over that check engine light. Hey, that don't make it go away. That just means you can't see it. But sometimes there are warnings like that in your car, and people just ignore it, thinking it may go away. So sometimes there's warnings, other times there are not. But here's the question. How do we as believers work? How do we react and go on during the midst of the storm that we're in right now? There's a storm all about us. There's conflicts, the questions and things. How do we as believers react during this? All of us have faced personal storms in our lives at times, even long before this coronavirus hit. Storms that were real to us if we were in the middle of that storm, whether it was a financial storm or a death of a loved one, or so many things that go on in our lives that are real storms to us. And then we find ourselves in the midst of a huge global storm. But at this time, we face these personal storms, and we all have a testimony that we can share. We all have a story to tell of something that we've been through. And here during this time, for many, we think back to better times. Do you have good memories of times in the past? Huh? Yeah. Sometimes we can think of better times. When I went to school, and I'm older, I know than a lot of people who may be listening, but when I went to school, I entered the first grade in 1959, we began the day with prayer and a Bible reading and pledges. We did. That is unheard of for many of you. You didn't have the privilege to be in school at that time. But we had those type of things in school. We watched Andy Griffin, Father Knows Best, Leave It to Beaver, Red Rider, a few other westerns that we would love to watch. Oh, they were good, and I still like to watch them on some of the older TV channels, don't you? I keep watching those reruns. Boys back then, I did. When I was in high school, we took our shotguns in the trunk of our cars or in the back glass of our pickups, hoping that one of our buddies would invite us after school to go hunting. Because I had a friend, Eddie Knight, who lived at Guilford College, and his family had a big farm. And there's many a times that he would invite us boys to come over and go dove hunting in the afternoon or rabbit hunting. But not today. But we didn't have the shootings back then that you see of today. We can remember many times of us. Many of us can remember better times. You see, we never thought we'd see the day in which we're living in today, did we? Huh? Did you? I certainly didn't. In 2 Timothy 3:1, where it says in the Bible that in the last days perilous times will come, well, we really didn't know what those perilous times would look like, did we? Until we got here and we see the things that are happening all around us. You see, I never thought that I would see a day when unbelievers, atheists, would be so hateful and angry and violent. But Alex can attest more to that than I am because he debates them on the college campuses. But they're evil and violent and very hateful. I never thought I'd see a day when believers, when Christians, those who name the name of Jesus, wouldn't know that they were really in a war, in a spiritual battle, such as the rise of demonic activity all around us. See, the old devil, well, he's many things, but one, he's a deceiver. He tries to make you think that he don't even exist. Oh, he's there to deceive. He's a destroyer of godly works and good works. He'll try to deceive you and keep you from growing and maturing as a Christian. He will send these worldly lusts in front of you by way of the TV and other material things. The destroyer of all these things in your life. He's also a divider. He wants to divide and destroy your marriage, your home life, your kids' lives. He wants to destroy everything about you. See, we're not in a playground. We're living as believers in a battlefield. And it's a spiritual war that is going on, and we need to realize who the enemy is. It's not one another. It's the old devil himself, the deceiver, the destroyer, the divider. I never thought I'd see a day when the mention of the name of Jesus, you sing about that song, Jesus, there's something about that name. But you get out here in public, to us, that brings a joy to our heart and a thrilling in our souls. But in public places, when you mention the name of Jesus, it brings a hatred and a turnoff, and people begin violent. Any other religion, it's okay. But true Christianity in the name of Jesus, oh no, we don't want that. They want our good deeds and our money, but they don't want our Jesus. When we mention the name of Jesus, it brings hatred. The old devil, not only that, marriages today, I never thought I'd see the day when marriages are just plumb obsolete. I have done many funerals the last few years, many, because we have a lot of elderly in our church, but I've done very few weddings. Oh, I think that tells about our society today. So I never thought I'd see a day when morality would be free-falling the way it is. I mean, it's just the Christian values that we have enjoyed through the years, some of us who are older, are crumbling away. I never thought I'd see the day when the Bible would be thought so little of, the precious Word of God. Even by believers who do not take time to spend in God's Word and get to know Him and grow in their relationship with the Lord. I never thought I would see the day when the Bible would be so little thought of. And not only that, that preachers who are giving little social messages and speeches rather than preaching the Word of God to men as they are. Technology is a good thing, I reckon. I guess it can be very good. But many don't remember a day without computers and cell phones. But the dark times that we live in today teach us, and we see that much more through the technology, where we have come. Well, I never thought I'd see the day that we're living in, did you? It's really something. Hey, this is not a negative message. Believers, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope because God's still God. None of this has caught Him by surprise. I believe that we are in the last days. Yes, I do. But I believe that we could be on the verge of another great awakening in our country. If believers will repent and let God do a work in our hearts and in our lives, if we would get back to our first love and give Christ the preeminence, the first place that He deserves and the love and respect that He deserves in our lives, if we would get our fire back, I believe God would hear our prayers and we might could see another awakening in our country. Do you believe that? Yeah, it is. Hey, it's not all negative. There's hope in God. So, listen, my good friend and mentor, Jerry Spencer, who was evangelist, he used to say, when you get saved, you should be so excited about your salvation that you could swing across hell on a cornstalk, spit in the devil's eye and sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. We got to get our fire back. We got to be excited about what Jesus has done in our life. Now, let me get back to this scripture that we read just a moment ago. We're going to look at three things that we can do in our remember in our life as believers, that where that our fire will be rekindled in our life, that we can crown Him Lord for, that we can make Him first in our life and give Him the preeminence that He deserves. Amen? Now first, we're going to see the redemption. We're going to look at revelation, and we're going to look at reconciliation. Now first off, you can be on fire for the Lord and praise Him in your life for all that He's done for you through the redemption that you have in Him. How's this redemption seen? There's two things. There's the route of redemption and the results of redemption. Look in verse 14. In whom we have redemption. That's our salvation. Redemption, that's our salvation. Through His blood. Through His blood. The route of redemption is seen through His blood. You see, it is nothing of me, it is nothing of you, nothing that we had anything to do with our salvation except receiving the free gift that Jesus offered. We ask Him for it and He gives it to us freely. We had nothing to do with it. It was all in Jesus and what He did for us. It is not by our, many think they can get to heaven by baptism. Oh no, it's not by your baptism. Many think that church membership will do. No, church membership will not get you to heaven, will not give you a relationship with Jesus. Many think that good works will get them there. That when the time comes, if their good works have outweighed their bad, that somehow they might be able to get into heaven. Oh no, that'll not give you a relationship with Jesus. It will not gain you entrance into heaven. Some people think that because I've got good godly grandparents or good godly parents that prayed for them, oh, they may have even given land to the church or worked in the church and been a deacon or elder or played the piano. Those things will not suffice for you to have a relationship with Jesus or to gain entrance into heaven. You yourself have to have a personal relationship. It's all because of what Jesus did. The route of redemption, the plan of salvation is all because of Jesus, not what we did, but what He has already done. And it said there in verse 14, it is because of the blood that was shed. The blood that was shed. The Old Testament teaches us all about the sacrifices and the blood sacrifices that had to be made for a covering of sins. But when Jesus went to Calvary, He shed His blood to give us a way to have a relationship with Him. It's all because of salvation through the blood. Romans 5:12 says, though one man's sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed to all men, for all have sinned. See, I'm kin to the wrong Adam. As Alex was preaching last night about the first Adam and the second Adam, we're all kin to the wrong Adam. Adam sinned, and we inherited that sin nature, so we are kin to the wrong Adam. Now, my dad's in glory today. But good, bad, ugly, it don't make any difference. Me and my dad have some of the same traits. You look at my dad and you'll see a lot of things in me that my dad looked like. Some of the same mannerisms, some of the same familiarities. And unfortunately, whether they like it or not, my two sons have those same familiarities sometimes too. You can tell that we are kin. Yeah, sometimes you may not like your kinfolk. I don't know, but all of us were kin to the wrong Adam. We are in sin. But at Calvary, Jesus shed His precious, His sinless blood. And praise God, if you go to Jesus and ask Him for salvation, you can get a blood transfusion. And we become kin to the last Adam, the one who is perfect, the one who saves us and makes us part of the royal family. He'll place us in His family, His church, the bride of Christ. We become royal family, kin to Him. Aren't you glad that He calls us His children? So that we have a part of His family. All because of the blood of Jesus. Not by anything we do. The route of redemption. The way of our salvation is found in Jesus and in the blood of Christ. In John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. See, it's the only way. One route. It's Jesus. It's all because of Jesus, the scriptures tell us. So I'm part of the royal family. How about you? Do you know Jesus? When you think about your salvation, the redemption that Jesus provided for you and me, it ought to set your soul on fire. It ought to help you to grow closer in love with Him day by day and want to serve Him greater. The route of redemption. Secondly, there's the results of redemption. That's found in verse 14. We looked at it. It said that redemption is found through the blood. What was the last part of that verse? Even the forgiveness of sins. Even the forgiveness of sins. See, He cleanses us and washes us and makes us clean. Now, I can remember being told when I was younger that folks back then sometimes didn't take a bath every day. Sometimes they would wash up maybe once a week. Well, I don't know about you, but I like to get clean. I like to put on clean clothes. It makes you feel better, doesn't it? Well, you get saved. That's the route of redemption through Jesus. But the results of that redemption is, hey, you can get cleaned up. He forgives you of your sin, no matter where you've been or what you have done. Forgiveness. A cleansing takes place where that you don't have to worry about the things you've done in the past. You can start all over. Yeah, it's like starting over. See, it's like this young boy. He had been mean to his mama. And his mama told him to go sit in his room for a while and think about it. Well, he had a little slate that he played with, drawing images and stuff on. So he wrote on that slate, Mama, I know I was mean, but if I'm forgiven, wipe the slate clean. Uh-huh. She comes by a little bit later. She sees that slate. She wipes all that clean and tells the boy, it's all right. You can come out of your room now. The little boy sees the slate's been wiped clean. He knows he's been forgiven. Everything's right between him and his mom again. Hey, even better than that. When you get saved, it's all through the blood of Jesus. It's a free gift. But at the same time, the results is that He cleans us up. He'll hug us on up, and no matter where you've been or what you've done, He cleans us up and calls us one of His children, part of His family. Amen. So there's the route of redemption. There's the results of redemption. That's our salvation. Oh, that ought to thrill your soul. It ought to make you fall in love with Jesus all over again. Amen? Give you a fire where that in verse 18, you can say, well, He has preeminence in my life. Amen. Okay, the route and results of redemption. Now, another thing about my dad's gone to glory. You can go to my mama today and you can say, tell me about Billy. Tell me about when he was born. And she can tell you, oh, he was born in 1953. His daddy was still over there in Korea. And he was born then. And he was growing. And we had him in church. And he got sick as a child. He had a kidney disease. She can tell you all about those times, good and bad. She can tell about those things. And one time when she's at home, the police came to the front door knocking on the door. We was teenagers by this time. And the police come up and said, ma'am, we've had complaints about your two boys been racing up and down the street here and squalling their tires. She says, oh, no, my boys wouldn't do anything like that. Well, I'm going to tell you, Mama don't know everything. But you can ask her certain things and she'll tell you about Billy and she'll tell you about Daryl, good and bad that we done. She didn't think we'd done anything bad. Now, wait a minute. The old devil goes before the Father. And he's the accuser of the brethren. And I can say, old devil, he goes before God and he says, tell me about Billy. I see here he was born in 1953. And God can begin to tell him out about my life, how I was born, how I was sick with a kidney disease, how that God saved, healed me from that kidney disease. And then the old devil said, well, tell me about them teenage years when he wasn't living right and doing this. And he said, well, he got saved when he was 12 years old, and I don't see anything but the blood after that. He won't tell him nothing else. See, it's by the blood that we're cleaned and cleansed up. Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus? That's the results that come that we're clean because we know Jesus. Can you praise Him for that in your life? All about the salvation, all right, there's a redemption. Secondly, there's the revelation. Let's deal a few moments on this revelation. I got to hurry up and quit. In this revelation, as we are saved, we begin to learn more about the Lord. And we see that we learn about the person of God. And we also learn about the power of God. We learn about the person of God in verse 15. Look with me in verse 15. It says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." Now, all of us, probably the first thing we do when we get up in the morning, we go into the restroom and you're either going to comb your hair, or some of us men may shave, or you may brush your teeth. You know, the things that we're going to do first when we get up, and you're going to look in that mirror. And you're going to see in that mirror, when I get in there and I look in there, I say, "Well, there's Bill Young. No ugly rascal, you got to do all you can to fix up this morning." But you may get in there and you're looking in that mirror and you're brushing your teeth. That is your reflection in that mirror. Yeah, that is your reflection. That's not you. You can touch it, but it's not your body there. It is your reflection. It said there in that verse that Jesus is the image of God. You want to see God, you look to Jesus. Oh yeah, He is the image of God. In the womb, He was God. He stepped out of glory into a robe of flesh, and even in the womb, He was God. As a little boy toddling along behind Joseph in the carpenter shop, He was God. Hey, I think about when Mary was holding the baby Jesus, and I think it might have went something like this. "Hey, Joseph, Jesus just spoke His first words." He may have said, "Daddy" or "Mama," you know. But hey, I can imagine Jesus looking up at Mary and saying, "If you only knew, I spoke this world into existence." Wow, our Savior. That's our Savior, the person of God. You look at Jesus and you can see God. At His bar mitzvah, at age 12, He was God. Oh yes, when He began His public ministry, at age 30, He was God. When He was baptized, He was God. When the voice came from heaven, said, "That's My beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." Hey, at Calvary, when He was there, hanging on the cross and shedding His blood for you and for my sins. It wasn't His sins, it was our sins. And He went to Calvary and He was shedding His blood for us. And darkness fell on the earth for 3 hours. Judgment of sin. It wasn't His sin, it's for the sins of the world. Hey, there's enough blood shed for the entirety of the world. Amen. So that we can know Him as our personal Savior. He went to Calvary. He was God. When He was in the tomb, He was God. Hey, while He was in the tomb, I can just imagine all the demons around. They've been fighting. They said, "Oh, the Son of God, He's dead now. We got Him. We got Him. He's dead. He's in the tomb." But I guarantee you, they shut up on that third day when He got up in power and glory. Amen. Because He was God. And you want to see God, you look to Jesus, because He's the image of the very God. The person of God you can see through Jesus. Jesus reveals the person of God. Can't you get excited? Can't you get your fire back because of what Jesus has done for us? Hey, the power of God. Seen in verse 16 and 17. It says there, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." See, He holds it all together. There back in eternity past, He stood on nothing and He spoke everything into existence. There we look up at night and see the stars hanging there, and He just created the stars and flung them out there and said, "Stay there." And they hung there because there was nothing else for them to hang on, because He put them all in place. Scientists say the Colorado River made the Grand Canyon. Oh, don't believe that. Hey, in creation, God created everything exactly the way He wanted it to be. You'll hear people say, "Oh, the earth is millions and millions and billions of years old." Don't believe that. God created things in different places of maturity exactly the way He wanted it. He may have created it in the very beginning where it looked to be a million years old. It was mature and exactly the way He planned it, no matter how, because He is the God of power that He has and exists. God made it all just as He wanted it. He has power too. Just as He created everything we see today, He still has power to change lives. He can change your life. He can change your, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you're not saved, He can change your life. No matter where you're at, what you've been through, He can transform your life and make your life worth living. If you've been saved, you're a child of God and you walked away, He can transform your life into something new. He can forgive you of those sins that you've committed and make you all brand new as well. We don't lose our salvation, but He can draw us up closer to Him, and we can get our fire back and our first love back and serve Him in a much greater way. He has power to make the drunk sober, the harlot clean, to change His children, and give us power to live for Him. That's the way it is in the real revelation that He shows us. So can you thank Him and praise Him for redemption, for revelation? I'm going to close with this. There's a reconciliation. It's found in two ways. In verse 20, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, to Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or in heaven." Now this is seen in two things. Now don't get mixed up here now. There is peace with God, and there is peace of God. Look here. You get peace with God the day you get saved. He will speak peace to your soul. The day you trust Him as your personal Savior and He calls you one of His, He transforms your life. You're a child of God. He gives you salvation, eternal life with Him, a home in heaven, makes life worth living, gives you rest and peace and joy. All those things that come with knowing Him, you get peace. Peace with God. I was saved and received that peace in June of 1965 as a 12-year-old boy at RA camp down here, right over here on old, what's the name of that road? Alamance Church Road. They've sold that camp many years ago, but years ago I was saved there as a 12-year-old boy at that camp. Now, I didn't always live for the Lord like I should, but He saved me, changed me. How do you know? Because as a teenager, I'd done some things I shouldn't do, and I never did feel good about it. The convicting power of the Holy Spirit in my life. When I go home, if I'd been somewhere I shouldn't go, I'd go home late out at night. I knew I shouldn't been there. Holy Spirit would be eating my lunch alive. I mean, He'd just tearing me up. See, you get saved, you can't do the same things and enjoy it. Holy Spirit will bother you about it because you're growing in the Lord. But you'll get peace with God at salvation. Amen. Now, I hope you've experienced that. But you can have peace of God that comes from a surrendered life. You'll know true joy and peace of God when you surrender your life to Him in total surrenderance to Him. What are you talking about, preacher? In 1969, I can tell you I was sitting at the back of Clifton Road Baptist Church on the left-hand side, the second pew, right on the inside of that pew from the middle aisle. And there is a Wednesday night, and the preacher was preaching, Jerry Spencer, and he was preaching, and the Lord was calling me into ministry the whole time. The invitation was given. I wouldn't budge. I was disobedient. I didn't want to preach. I saw how my grandpa was treated as a preacher. I said, I don't want none of that. I was working, making good money. I liked that. Yeah, I did. So I said no to the Lord. I did. Even Jerry Spencer mentioned in that invitation that night, he said, I feel the Lord pressing upon me that He's calling somebody into ministry tonight. I wouldn't surrender. I knew it was me. I said no. I was a teenager. I went on and on. Me and Diane had been dating on and off junior high and high school. 1972, the Lord spoke to me again. I said no. I had me a good job making good money. Like God hadn't spoke to me in a while. I wasn't doing anything wrong. Really wrong. I just wasn't living for the Lord like I should. I was going to church every time the doors was open. I even went on visitation sometimes. But I knew I wasn't where the Lord wanted me to be. I didn't get out there with some of my friends doing drugs and different things. I didn't do that. Lord kept me from it, I reckon. Wasn't that I was living for Him like I should. But the Christmas time of 1973, Diane come home from Lynchburg Bible College. That's what it was back then. And during Christmas, we went out off and on like we always did. And I took her back to school in January when she went back to school. And being up there around God's people, and who taught that Sunday school class? Sumner Wimp or Harold? One of them taught a Sunday school class, and the Lord spoke to my heart again. Coming back down 29, January 1974, I was crying so much, I just had to say, Lord, whatever you want, I'll do. Now, I don't know what, the Lord may not be calling you to preach. He may just be calling you to a surrendered life, where that you're serving Him and loving Him and growing in Him. But I can tell you, peace of God will come when you surrender to the will of God in your life. Claim verse 18 and that He deserves preeminence, first place in your life. Where are you at tonight? Where are you at? Do you know Him? If you don't know Him, maybe you want to just, the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, maybe you just want to say a prayer asking God to save you. It has to be your prayer, but maybe it goes something like this. I invite you to pray. Lord, forgive me. I believe in You. I trust You as my Savior. I'm a sinner. Lord, I ask You to forgive me. I want You to come into my life and change me. Be the Lord of my life, the master of my soul. And I thank You, Lord, for saving me. Please help me to live for You. In Jesus' name. Hey, if you said something like that to Jesus, upon the authority of God's word, He'll save your soul. He changed your life, made you one of His children. If you're sincere, you really mean business with God, and you just ask Him through a simple prayer of forgiveness, He will change your life. You don't have to live with uncertainty during these times. You can live with hope and peace, knowing that He's in control, knowing that you have eternal life in Him. Hey, maybe you're a believer. Maybe you've walked away from Him. You're not serving Him like you should. You've let the devil draw you away with all these material things and the little gods of this world to blind you and maybe harden your heart a little. And you want to come back to Him. If the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart, maybe you want to pray and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I want to serve You. I want to let my light shine for You and be the child of God You've called me to be. I want that peace of God that comes from surrendered life. Lord, help me to live for You. Now, if you're sincere and ask God to forgive you, He will. 1 John 1:9 says, if we ask Him and confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, I pray that God spoke to your heart through the message tonight. Maybe you got saved. Write in and let us know. Alex will come in a moment and he'll tell you how you can get a little free booklet to help you. Oh, believers, we want to look forward to an awakening and things that God has for us in the days ahead. Hey, time's growing short. Won't you make it count for Him? Amen. Alex, you come.
Amen. Let's just, if you would, keep your head bowed for just a moment. Bill Young, how I thank you for preaching the gospel and Colossians. I don't know that I've ever heard it explained so passionately and so persuasively as we have here tonight. Good Shepherd Church exists to participate in Christ's Great Commission. Folks, the website is goodshepherdchurchofgreensboro.com. You can email me. It will come directly to me, alex@alexmcfarland.com. Or you can write to us, 4453 Sumner, S-U-M-N-E-R, Sumner Church Road, 4453 Sumner Church Road, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27406. If you made a decision tonight, we do. We have a booklet we'll send you, no obligation whatsoever. But it's a little booklet that more than 200,000 people have gotten. This booklet says, what does God say about my relationship with Him? If you need to come to Christ, or maybe tonight you just did make a decision, let us know and how we will pray for you and rejoice with you. Maybe you need to come back to Christ. Maybe you want to tell somebody about tomorrow night's service, because Adrian Harris is going to preach right here, 6:30, tomorrow night, and it's going to be great. But I want to pray, And then I'm going to ask the Young family to just give us another bit of song. But as Bill said, we need an awakening. We need a Holy Spirit move of God.